Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey, it's supposed to be some snow this weekend, Saturday. The forecast keeps changing. First it was half an inch, then it was 2 to 4 inches. What is it now? We don't know.
I don't know.
It keeps shifting around. So it depends on the temperature. Could be rain, snow. Could be all rain by Sunday morning and wiped out. This has been a very good winter, very mild winter.
Don't say that. Jinxes it.
Yeah, that's true. But remember I told you when the Farmer's Almanac came out and said it was going to be a heavy snow? The Farmer's Almanac is always wrong. It's wrong like literally 94% of the time. So it's been a pretty good winter. You know, you got to realize there's only like 6 weeks left.
I know.
We pretty much got through it. You got 2 weeks January.
Once you get through February.
February's like, oh, by the way, it's a leap year, so there's an extra day in February.
Oh, great.
For all of you Democrats, there's an extra day this year of President Trump. So 4 weeks, March, you got to worry about a week or so. And then, so it's really like 7 weeks. It's nothing.
Oh, well.
Nothing.
A lot can happen.
A lot can happen, but you pretty much got through the winter, so that's good news. The fake impeachment later today. Chief Justice John Roberts will head over to the Senate and swear in all these people. And these senators will be the jury. And you know, most important thing when you impanel a jury is look for decent, hardworking, honest Americans to give you a judgment. So when you get these senators, you were talking about honest, honorable statesmen.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it.
I'm a liar. You're a liar. This is the jury. These idiots. I wouldn't trust any of them. Same thing for Lindsey Graham. You know, these snaky and this Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
What a slimy, treacherous, bitter, backstabbing. I think you're supposed to be, when you're a Mormon, you're supposed to be Mr. Honorable. This Mitt Romney.
I think in the end, the Republicans will hold the line. They'll stay together.
One of two things left. Either they'll hold the line, no witnesses, they'll get it done. Or if there's going to be witnesses, then Democrats have a huge problem. Hunter Biden will have to testify under oath. Joe Biden will have to testify under oath. He's got a problem there. Because when he keeps claiming, I didn't know what my son was doing in the Ukraine. If you're the official from the U.S. put in charge of the Ukraine, if the president, Obama, puts you in charge of Ukraine, and in a massive coincidence, your son gets a job in the Ukraine, even though he's never been there, he doesn't speak Ukrainian, and it's a no-show job and he gets $8 million for it. Are you telling me that you've never discussed this?
Nothing wrong with that.
You get this guy under oath. You never discussed this? He was also put in charge of China, Joe Biden. He takes the Air Force 2 to China with a bunch of people. His son is on the trip. His son, who's never had a hedge fund in his life, goes over to China. And by the way, China has never invested in an American hedge fund ever in history. Son goes over there on the trip with Joe Biden, suddenly gets a $1.5 billion check from China for his little startup hedge fund. And they both have said publicly that on the way back, they didn't discuss it.
Yeah, say that under oath.
Let's get these two under oath.
Yeah.
Your son has a job, right?
Yes.
Did he ever tell you about it?
Of course.
Did you ever ask him about it?
Of course.
Imagine if your son got a check for $1.5 billion, and now you're flying back on a 22-hour flight. He's not going to mention this? You're sitting with your son. First of all, wouldn't you say to him, what are you doing here on this trip?
Well, I'm sure he knows what he's doing on that trip.
All right, on the way back, 22 hours on the flight. At some point, you didn't say to your son, so what'd you do while you were in China?
Yeah, how'd you make out?
I didn't see you for a couple of days. What were you doing? So, hey, you love the film The Irishman?
Yeah, I do like it.
If you read the book, The Irishman, you know, whenever you get the book, it's much more detailed. You know, half the stuff gets cut
out. I don't think they left out anything in the movie.
Yeah, they left out a lot of stuff, half the stuff. One of the things they left out in the book, The Irishman, the name Joe Biden appears about 7 times.
Ooh.
Because the young Frank Sheeran and Russell Bufalino and all these guys, apparently they were friendly with Biden. They were told if you have any problem, you go to Biden.
Uh-huh.
Biden at that time, a very young senator. So they left that out of the movie. Because you can see if they went to a very confused old Joe Biden and said to tell you, it's what it is. Biden would go, huh? What? So this is not over. It's just beginning for Biden. Now, if the aid to the Ukraine was held up, there's no problem with that. You're supposed to hold up aid if you feel there's any corruption in the country. If you read the transcript, clearly there was talk of corruption. There had been talk of, well, that's the reason this new president got elected, because there had been a ton of corruption. He was voted in to get rid of the corruption. Now, what's this office, the Government Accountability Office?
Yeah, yeah.
This is like a committee with no authority over anything. They have nothing to say about it.
It's a watchdog group.
It's not anything. You know, whenever they say the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has ruled that this is, you know, that congressional.
Yeah, right.
It's just a committee that's always wrong. They have no authority. It's the most partisan organization in the world. They always have traditionally scored everything wrong. Same thing with Government Accountability Office. It's like the Senate Ethics Committee. Remember when Al Franken got caught and he said, I've referred it to the Senate Ethics Committee. That's just a bunch of swamp idiots. It's a committee. They've never, you could do anything. You murder 50 people and all they do is write you a letter reprimanding you. So that's all this government accountability. But fake news will run with the story. You're going to hear this all day on CNN and MSNBC. The Government Accountability Office has ruled this is illegal. Well, great. I could rule it's illegal. It doesn't mean anything. I have no authority. They have no authority either. I don't know if you know, the president signed the agreement with China yesterday, phase one.
Did he?
Yeah, got no coverage. Yeah. I didn't see this on MSNBC or CNN. It was like 1 second towards the end of the hour. Lester Holt, it got like 4 seconds in here. But the impeachment with the pens and the balloons and the they had a band, they had a selfie booth. With that got 40 minutes of coverage. Did you check eBay yet to see if any of these pens have showed up?
They are.
Yeah, so it was a big thing, this signing.
I will sign the resolution, transmit.
You are depending on this woman to lead you? She doesn't even know what the hell she's saying. Listen, I'll sign.
I will sign the resolution.
What am I saying? Imagine you lost, you pull over, you got her or Biden to ask for directions.
It's a historic moment, and she's kind of bumbling through it.
She really is. I hate to say it, she's either really stupid or drunk. You listen and tell me which.
I will sign the resolution transmitting the articles of impeachment to the Senate, which will be delivered by our managers, of whom I'm very proud. I will sign.
There's 300 and something million people in this country. This is who we have leading the House. Can you imagine that? Just completely lost. And she's, if you watch the video, I have it up on Twitter. Take a look at this video. She said, this is very serious. And then she's laughing. She says, it's big laughing. She can't stop laughing. I would say that's being drunk. That's when you laugh out of context. Okay. So what a, you know.
It's kind of early to be drinking when she signed that. It was yesterday morning.
Was it morning? No, it was later in the day. It was about 5 o'clock. When they when they did the signing, it was like 5 o'clock.
Well, that's when they marched it over.
No, I think I was watching it live. I remember I was going to watch the 5, and they actually delayed it because they were covering this signing. You're all disoriented, you people that do morning shows.
All right.
I think it was 5 o'clock, but can you imagine? This is who you ever watch CNBC or Fox Business when they have all these CEOs on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These all CEOs from these companies, one after the other, they look brilliant. Yeah, I don't know who these people are, but these guys start talking. Wow, what a smart guy.
Right,
it's a brilliant guy, a smart guy. You watch these idiots we got running the country. They couldn't get a job in any company in the world, these mumbling idiots.
I will sign the resolution.
Or can you imagine Joe Biden comes in for a job interview? Were these two morons?
Called me a liar on national TV?
You're not even sure. I think you called me a liar. Did you? I think.
I mean,
what?
Called me a liar on national TV?
Let's not do it right.
Let's not do it. I'm hungry. I got to go eat. Why was that de Blasio lying about this bagel thing?
I don't know. He's trying to pretend to be a New Yorker. He doesn't know how.
Yeah, you know what? That's what it is. They asked him. What they asked him? They started by asking where the best bagel is.
Yeah, right.
So he says, bagel hole in Park Slope. He is They call him the dope from Park Slope. He loves Park Slope. He goes there to go to the gym every day. There's a cafe he goes to. It's not this one, though.
No.
There's another cafe he goes to. But if you see this place, it's got a big sign out front, Bagel Hole, and another big sign, Best Bagels in New York. So I think he never has had a bagel. I think he just goes to the gym, the cafe, and he sees this place with the word bagel all over the place. So I think it's the only thing he knew to name.
Well, that could be because he's, you know, he gave the kind of bagel that he likes. He said he likes it toasted.
Well, what was the bagel? Was it a whole wheat bagel?
Whole wheat bagel.
Nobody likes a whole wheat bagel.
Of course not.
Nobody ever. Or they, you know, they only make like two because it'll sit there all day. Nobody has a whole wheat bagel.
And he likes it toasted, but that place doesn't have a toaster.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever had a bagel. You know, if you go out in the outer boroughs, there are some really seriously good bagel places.
Yeah.
And this place gets some good ratings. You know, you go out into Queens, what's it called? Utopia Bagel. That's probably the finest bagel in New York. It's phenomenal. There's lines out the door, and when you look in there, behind the counter are these enormous ovens where they're baking them. And this place, Bagel Hall, it's like the same thing. They make these bagels.
Yeah.
That's why they don't have a toaster. They make them, and they come out of the oven hot. Now, sometimes it cools down a little, but usually every 20 minutes, there's a new batch. So they don't have a toaster, and I don't think he's ever had a bagel, so it's like a whole wheat bagel. It just sounds good.
Yeah, that's right. It sounds good.
Nobody even has whole wheat anymore. It's like it'd be like seven grain, or it'd be that's like having Sanka coffee. It's like from another era. So he said, "I like it toasted." Now, these top bagel places, like the one that thing they're known for, is if you get it just right, the outside is crunchy, the inside is chewy.
Right, it's the way it's supposed to be, yeah.
It's supposed to be. That's why you don't toast it. It screws up the outside. It's not exactly the perfect crunchy. It's too crunchy. And then you lose the chewiness inside. So I think he was just lying. I don't think he wants you to know the truth, which is he goes to that cafe, and he has like a croissant and a latte, and he doesn't want you to know that he's not Mr. Socialist in a bread line, that he eats fancier stuff. So he got caught in this big, big lie.
Once again.
Unbelievable. So, whoever the reporter was, stop asking what bagel he likes. Ask him about this bail reform. Ask him about juggling the crime numbers. Ask him about cooking the books. Stop asking what the bagel he likes. We don't need to know the answer to that. So, there is a 2020 tax cut coming. It'll be announced probably in the summer. That's good news.
Yeah. Middle class?
All middle class. Now, watch this in the summer. The last Trump tax cut, the Bush tax cut, the Reagan tax cut, was mostly for the middle class. Everybody benefits, so if you're wealthy, you'd benefit too, but it was mostly middle class. The last one was like 79 or 82% middle class. And then the Republicans always get yelled at. The Democrats, MSNBC, CNN, they always yell, tax cuts for the rich, tax cuts for the rich. This new tax cut will be only middle class, nothing else. Watch at the Democrat convention, tax cuts for the rich. That's all they'll yell. It doesn't matter to them. So, speaking of Jeffrey Epstein, it looks like Prince Andrew might lose his security.
Really?
Yeah, this security around the royal family is expensive. You know, like even Prince Harry and this idiot Meghan in Canada have 10 of these guards. They're not just regular security. They're like specialized, specially trained security just to guard the royal family. And Andrew has a lot of them around him. Now, they say they may pull the detail off him, but it brings up the question, if he had this royal security, didn't they notice these young girls? I assume if he went to Jeffrey Epstein's house, they came in the house with him.
I don't think so.
I don't think they waited in the car for 4 days. So don't you think they kept an eye on him in the house?
He probably did, but they... Are they allowed to testify to tell you what went on, or aren't they sworn to secrecy?
Work for the royal family. They're in Britain. There's no way you can get them over here. You can't force them over here. But if you're the queen, you got to wonder, why didn't somebody come to somebody and tell us, even if you weren't in the room, you saw Prince Andrew go in the room, and he might say, I'm getting a massage, but then you would expect some fat Russian woman to go in there. If you see 6 14-year-olds go in there, don't you think you'd say something?
Yeah.
Don't you think, if you're these security people, wouldn't you say to your boss, and he'd say to his boss, I just think you better know this, and this is what we're watching. Yeah. So they may pull his security detail off. That'd be interesting to see. Hey, check out my Instagram. I just put up this picture of, this is the latest picture of Meghan and Harry. Take a look at this. It's up on Instagram, Mark Simone NYC at Instagram. Mark Simone NYC at Instagram.
Are you United 11?
You missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone
on 710WOR.
Well, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. You know, John Solomon does such great work for The Hill, great investigative reporter. But I was watching Rachel Maddow quoting him, and she said, conservative columnist John Solomon said, it's always, they do, Chuck Todd, all these people, they always do that whenever there's a conservative, which is very rare, but whenever there's one on Meet the Press or MSNBC, they always introduce him by saying, conservative commentator, conservative columnist, but they never do that with the other guests. You never hear anybody on MSNBC say, liberal columnist, Jonathan Alter, liberal column, liberal commentator. It's always conservative columnist, Rich Lowry. But every guest, super left-wing liberal. Never once have they ever said, liberal columnist. Anyway, let's go to Diane in Illinois. Hey, Diane.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Very good.
They label them conservative columnists because they're so rare. Yeah. But anyway, as much as I'd love to see some of these liars squirm under testimony, I don't want these jurors, these senators, calling witnesses. But you're a smarty pants. If they could open up the testimony from all those secret meetings Schiff had in the basement of other witnesses that wasn't released, can they read that out loud and make that part of the defense?
Yeah, they could. Now, here's the thing. If you want to just get this over with fast, you can try to get this done in a few days and dismiss it. But if you're going to call witnesses, they will call Joe Biden. They will call Hunter Biden. They will call Adam Schiff to testify. He's an impeachment manager. He'd have to step down from that. They may look at him for prosecutorial misconduct for the basement shenanigans. You know, the Democrats will start screaming, this is not about Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's irrelevant. No, he's not. You know, and there's this general accounting office that says the law was broken. They have nothing to say about it. It's just a stupid committee. Under our rules and regulations in government, you're not supposed to give any foreign aid until you're assured that all corruption has been cleaned up. If you listen to the phone call, he asks this president to clean up all corruption, election tampering, DNC hack, just everything. And at the end, he throws in Biden. So at some point, you're going to have to look at Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. You have to see what the hell was there. If it turns out there was something bad, then the call for an investigation was justified. So you can't even seriously deal with this issue until you know you're after this guy because he called for an investigation. Well, was he right or wrong? You have to get that looked at first. If he was right to call for an investigation, then he was right. If there was nothing there, you know, if you watch the Sunday shows or the fake news, whenever you bring up Hunter Biden or Burisma, they always say, it's been totally debunked. There's nothing there. It's been debunked. No, it never has. It's never even been looked at. So that would be step one. Let's go to Gene in Manhattan. Hey, Gene.
Oh, I wanted to tell you that on last night's Jeopardy program, one of the questions, the category was U.S. representatives.
Yes.
And one of the questions was, they put up, it was, he's a member of the California delegation to Congress, and they put up a big picture of Adam Schiff, and not one of the contestants knew who he was. That's how much attention is being paid to this.
Do we believe this? We don't believe this. I don't believe this.
Not one.
Well, I got to check into that. You talking about these geniuses who know every river, the Euphrates, every river in Somalia? They didn't know who Adam Schiff. That's hard to believe. Let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Mark, they didn't recognize him because they have to put a pencil on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Mark, I'd like to talk about these five traitors in the Senate, and that would be Lisa Permafrost Murkowski, Susan bringing up baby Collins, Mitt the Biggest Loser Romney, and Cory Gardner, and also that other bum, Lamar, not so great Alexander.
Hey, why do you guys like nicknames so much?
Well, it fits. It really fits.
Oh, but everybody is Mike the Hammer, Tony the Shark. Why can't you just be your name? Everybody's got a nickname.
Well, it fits. fits their personality. Oh. These people are rats.
Yeah.
And especially this Susan Collins, she likes to play the kingmaker, like even at the Kavanaugh hearings. She could have, you know, just said she's going to go along with it. No, she had to get a hairdo. It was an excuse to get a hairdo, a new Chanel suit.
Hairdo, that's an old expression. When was the last time you heard the expression hairdo?
Well, whatever, or go get another wig or something.
Beauty parlor, or go to Vic Tanny, or...
Exactly, you know, or get one of those, what are they called? I forgot those wigs that like the Hasidim women wear, those cheap wigs. But anyway, she likes to play,
You got a little out of control here, Vincent.
What?
I said, it's good, keep going.
Oh, and also, you know, I'm only kidding, of course.
No, I know, you're just
these people, they need to see, a person like Clemenza needs to go visit them.
Uh-oh, now, Vincent, now wait a minute here.
Nah, Mark, I'm just kidding, of course.
Of course you're kidding.
I don't mean that, but, you know, a person, no, better yet, my girlfriend.
No, I say you send Frank Sheeran to give him one of those, he said to tell you it's what it is. What it is? It's what it is.
What is it, Frank? What is it? But anyway, I mean, these people, they need to be primaried. After Trump wins the election, I hope these people are primaried by senators who really like the president's agenda and like what he's doing for America. Because a bum like Mitt Romney has always been for himself, the biggest loser.
Yeah, well, very good points, Vincent. Now, here's the thing, and these Democrats are forgetting all about this. You know, you can play your games with your fake impeachment, but it's only January. Once it gets to be September, October, and you're heading into that election, you're going to lose the House, absolutely, because when everybody in America goes to the polls to vote, all they're going to look at is, what the hell did you get done in Congress? We gave you the House of Representatives back, and what did you get done for us? Exactly. Nobody knows. So if you don't have a list of accomplishments that you got done, you Democrats, in the, I'm not talking about your fake impeachment. If you don't have a list of things you got done for the American public, you're going to get tossed out, and they're going to hand it back to the Republicans. Hey, when we come back, Greg Kelly will be with us, one of the great TV anchors. Got a new show on Newsmax. We'll talk about that. And, you know, he was there. I never asked him about this. He was there when Trump announced. Remember when he came down the escalator? He was standing there. We'll talk about that and all kinds of stuff coming up on 710 WOR.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone, 710 WOR.
Well, Greg Kelly, one of our great anchors, of course, Good Day New York for years, Fox News Channel, war correspondent, White House correspondent. And he wrote a great piece in the Wall Street Journal a week ago. And he's got a new show, which is started this week. It's on Newsmax. You can see it tonight at 7. Greg Kelly, how you doing?
Terrific, Mark. Thank you so much. And the great part about being a guest on your show is I can actually pay you a compliment, tell you what a fan I am of the show. How it is so consistently informative and funny, and I know that you're not going to hang up on me or make fun of me for saying that.
unlike other guests, he actually does listen. I know, because we can quiz you, and you've actually heard the show.
It's great stuff, but I love it. I the callers, you hassle the callers in the best possible way, and they still love you. Even when you make fun of them, somehow it totally works. It's just great radio. Thanks for having me. And thanks for reading that piece in the Wall Street Journal. And the new show has been on for, let's see, tonight is night 3 on Newsmax. It's a great show. It's called Greg Kelly Reports. And we are trying to provide an alternative. Look, if you hate Donald Trump, there are a million places you can go in the media universe, and you'll be reinforced. You'll be fed what you want to eat. If you believe that Donald Trump could go into the middle of Fifth Avenue and actually shoot somebody, and you'd still find a way to vote for him, remember when he said that? He was kind of, in a way, almost making fun of some of his supporters. If that's you, this show may not be for you either. This show offers, I think, a very realistic appraisal of the president's gifts, his many gifts, his skills. You talk about him all the time. We've never seen anything like this. His style sometimes rubs people the wrong way. Sometimes I am totally in awe of it. Sometimes it freaks me out. So a bit more of an honest kind of down the middle approach on Donald Trump. I'm a friend of Donald Trump's. A friend might be strong. I know him. I like him. I'm not in love with him. He knows me. But I actually don't think he respects people who just fawn all over him all the time.
Hey, when he came down that escalator, that was June of 2015, that first day where he announced, you were standing there. And you get credit for being one of the few people who took it seriously. A lot of people thought it was all silly, but you were standing there when it happened. Tell us about that.
Quite frankly, I was the only one. Yeah, I've been pointing this out because I've been patting myself on the back. But look, there's a lesson here. Rosanna Scotto and I went over there kind of on a whim just to see what it was all about. There was a rumor he might run for president. He might punk the audience and start a new TV show. So, by the way, it was pretty easy to get in. There weren't a lot of reporters, a lot of cameras, but not a lot of reporters.
Wait, I forgot. When he was coming down the escalator, I forgot about that. So we didn't know that he was going to announce? We didn't know what it was for?
There was some speculation that he really wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to quite pull the trigger. So there was genuine suspense in the room. Now, there were people, what is this all about? Sure enough, he announces he's running for president pretty early on in remarks that took 45 minutes. And I just listened, and I listened to the entire speech. I had to. I was there. I couldn't walk out. And that's the key to understanding Donald Trump. I think because I didn't grow up as a journalist, I grew up in the military. There's a problem here. Journalists, they say, take him literally, but the people take him seriously. And quite frankly, I was a person before I was a journalist, if you will. And you take it in its totality, and I've lived all over the country, I knew the message would resonate. And I said so on national television. A microphone was presented to me right after, and I said, this is a total game changer. He can go all the way, and it could resonate in Iowa, New Hampshire, and beyond. By the way, I had a slightly different reaction when I first met Mike Bloomberg in 2001.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's strange. You know, Mike is making news now, of course, and I know, Mark, you say the Super Tuesday strategy doesn't work, and it probably doesn't, but hear me out on this. I very first time in May of 2001 at a Wendy's in Queens. I remember this well because I was there as a reporter covering a Memorial Day parade. And rumor was he was going to show up. There were going to be some other politicians. And somebody came up to me and said, are you Greg Kelly? And I remember this because it's the first time I was recognized in TV being a guy on the news. Which, by the way, gets old really quick because then they'll say something like, you look fatter in person. something like that. So he goes, you want to meet Mike Bloomberg? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay, wait here. I'm going to bring him over. And as I'm waiting, I realize I don't even know what the guy looks like. He was not household name famous, maybe in financial circles, but I didn't even know what he looked like. So he comes over, and he's this pretty ordinary guy, but amiable. We had a nice chat about aviation. He's a pilot. I'm a pilot. Lasted for about 5 minutes, and off he went. And I really thought, well, he doesn't have a shot. I mean, he's running for mayor. Nobody in the restaurant looked. He walked in the parade. He was blown off. This is, they had a big sign. Here's Mike Bloomberg, like as if anybody would care. And but this is right before the massive, massive media buy. And just 6 months later, he was mayor-elect of the city of New York. He won. He went from zero name recognition to mayor. And
well,
that could happen again.
With the help of Rudy Giuliani, who went out and campaigned for him. Hey, also,
there are a lot of things that happened, but you got to be in it to win it. And anything can happen in politics. And if he wasn't in it, that Rudy 9/11, a lot of things kind of worked in his favor. But you got to be in it to win it.
And to be honest, if I had to choose a pilot, now take you, for instance, Marine fighter pilot, you flew the no-fly zone over Iraq, millions of fighter jets, and this bored billionaire who can barely see over the window. I think I'd choose you for the pilot of it.
Well, I don't know. It's been a while. Mike is, I hear he's pretty competent. If I had my own plane, I would fly a lot more often. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah.
I have to rent the plane. I got to go up to Westchester. I got to sign up. I got to rent the plane. I don't do that very often. And by the way, for me, it's expensive. It's expensive to fly. Borrow somebody's plane and fly it. Mike doesn't have that problem. He flies everywhere. You can say, hey, let me drive for a little bit. Yeah. He can say that, and because it's his plane. So he's pretty good. He's got all the ratings, instrument rating. He's actually been in a couple of mishaps, and I think he did a pretty good job saving the aircraft, that kind of thing. So, no, I would, you'd be safe in the back seat.
All right, so forget president. Let him. We'll get him a job at Air Force One. Let him be one of the pilots. You can do that. Hey, so your new show's on Newsmax. By the way, wherever you live, you just check your local cable system, see what channel Newsmax is, or you go to Newsmax.com. What do you got tonight on the show at 7?
Good question. We're jumping through hoops. Oh. Impeachment's huge. Iran is kind of fading away as a story, if you think about it. You know what I mean? I think there's still something to say about the Elizabeth Warren moment and that phony argument they had last night on TV that seemed totally contrived. But, no, the show is a work in progress, 7 o'clock. You can also watch it online at Newsmax.com. Newsmax.com is a huge website. The whole operation, we're pushing 100 million homes. It's kind of having a bit of a renaissance there. And Chris Ruddy, the founder and CEO, is kind of orchestrating this renaissance. And, you know, very few media companies are expanding. And that's what Newsmax is doing. You hear about people contracting, layoffs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not happening at Newsmax, and it's very exciting. Great place to be there. A great place to be, and I'm very grateful.
All right, well, watch Greg Kelly tonight. It's every weeknight at 7 o'clock. Greg Kelly reports. Newsmax TV. Go to Newsmax.com. Just check the listings. You'll see where Newsmax is on your cable system. And Greg Kelly will be watching 7 o'clock. And it's repeated again later on.
All night long.
All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot, pal.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Take care. Oh, and check out my Instagram. We just put up a new. Now, this is the latest picture of Meghan and Prince Harry, and there's a lot of other good stuff up there. If you're not following me on Instagram, Mark Simone NYC at Instagram. Make sure you follow me there. Hey, also follow me on Twitter because, like, the rest of the day and on the weekends, that's where we keep in touch. Mark Simone NY at Twitter. Mark Simone NYC at Instagram.